You are listening to The Healthy Living Code, a podcast created for active people of the triangle who value their health and will do anything to protect it. Before we begin, if you currently suffer from pain, head over to thepainreliefbook.com and download a copy of our free book, How to Get Rid of Pain and Back to Living an Active Life Without Pain Medications, Injections, and Surgery. Now here's your host, the owner of Kaizen Physical Therapy, Dr. Derek Nielsen.
So welcome back to the Healthy Living Code. This is episode number 2, and I couldn't help but think of my good friend Betsy Colley to bring on the show to introduce you to kettlebells. I'm a big fan of kettlebell training. I do have some back training and courses that I've gone to, and I actually went to Betsy's course when she taught some kettlebell training in her gym. That was excellent. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Betsy, and tell us a little bit more about your background, where you came from, and how you got to be the owner of Rapid Results Fitness.
Okay. I've always been in fitness many, many years, and I got involved with kettlebell training in 2007. I worked with a trainer who taught me kettlebell technique, and then from there I just basically took to it like fish to water and pursued my certification. At that time, I was teaching in what I refer to as a box gym setting, teaching all kinds of, you know, group fitness, small group fitness, and personal training of different modalities, everything from high impact aerobics to kickboxing, interval training, that kind of thing. But when I found the kettlebell work, it really opened my eyes to what I was actually missing as a trainer, and that is to actually have better quality training and ability to change poor form in the small group classes and correct form and that kind of thing. And so from there, the kettlebell work led me away from a box gym setting and then to open up my own gym, which is Rapid Results Fitness.
So 1997, is that what you said?
No, 2007.
Oh, 2007.
2007, yeah.
Okay, 2007. I mean, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was 12 years ago.
Because kettlebells are pretty new, fairly new.
Still.
Mm-hmm. In the United States anyways.
Yes.
But tell me a little bit about, so what is it about the kettlebell that drove you to open up your gym that's, I know you offer a little bit more kettlebells, but that's the primary reason why people show up. What is it about the kettlebell that gets you so excited about it?
For me, what it was, and it still is fascinating to me, especially as I watch bodies, you know, learn this technique, and they also come from different backgrounds. So it's interesting to see how the kettlebell training makes what they do sport specific even better. But going back in hindsight, the reason that the kettlebell training works so well is that it mimics real life movement patterns. It is what we call in the fitness industry functional training, functional movement, which means the things that we're doing with the kettlebell in the gym setting transfer to functional movement, real life movement outside these walls, outside the gym walls. So the other thing about it is, if you've never seen a kettlebell, it's shaped like a cannonball. It has a handle. It's cast iron. It's solid, made in one piece. And the reason that it has such effective results with your body is that it is an offset mass. So it recruits more muscle fiber as you're moving with it. And that's why it gives such strong results. It's the only, literally the only tool I know in fitness that combines strength training, cardio conditioning, flexibility, and core training. There's no other piece of equipment in the gym that can do that simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I really am a big fan of the kettlebell. And so people might not understand what you mean by offset. So give me some examples of something that isn't offset.
Okay, so like a dumbbell, if you hold a dumbbell in your hand, the weights are on either side of you. Unfortunately, that doesn't work with your center of gravity, so it doesn't produce the same effects with your body. In fact, a funny story for me personally is when I went back into a gym setting on vacation where there were no kettlebells, I had to improvise, you know, my workouts, and I did a lot of body weight stuff, which I always recommend. But then I tried to do some dumbbell work. And what I noticed was, the weight of the bell was the dumbbell was staying more concentrated in the hand itself than working with the whole body. And I could tell right away how it changed, how it wasn't recruiting the same muscle fibers. So it was not as effective. The other thing about the kettlebell work that drove me to open the gym is that I knew that this could give people exactly what they need, what all age groups need, what all fitness levels need. And that's something that we call in the strength and training, strength and conditioning world, general physical preparedness, GPP. That's a term used in the industry. And what that refers to is the fact that the kettlebell training physically prepares you from a all over body standpoint to do what it is that you sport specifically love, whether it's soccer, golf, tennis, track, whatever. If you're not generally physically prepared to do something before you do that sport specific thing, there's a good chance you're going to have injury. Now, this doesn't guarantee injury free, but if you understand what it means to be generally physically prepared, this kind of training makes sense. The other reason that I'm so gung-ho about it is it's a very forgiving tool compared to barbell or body weight. Body weight exercise is one of the hardest things to do correctly because it requires a person's ability to master their muscle tension and gain tension for no reason without an external source. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of another topic in itself.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I derailed.
Well, because you know, somebody looks at fitness and they're saying where to start, I think a lot of people are going to automatically assume, let me start with body weight. That's the safest. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me that's the hardest.
Well, when you really talk about true body weight exercise, and I'm referring to pull ups, push ups, you know, those kinds of body weight exercises. And even actually, I hate to be so nitpicky, but even if you take a person and put them in a lunge pattern or in a squat, most people need an external force to contract their muscles. They'll just take that body weight movement with no muscle contraction. And that's incorrect. So that's why I say body weight, if your body doesn't understand how to muscularly contract without an external source, you're going to have trouble with body weight exercise. You can still get hurt.
Gotcha. I got what you're saying. Yeah. So the weight itself, the way that the kettlebell is designed, and the weight itself is going to force you to stabilize, which can help out with cleaning up the movement.
Yes. It because of that offset handle, it does promote stability, stabilization within the body. And that's another big term that a lot of people, when they think about getting in shape, that's a word that they may not have ever heard about before, but it's a really big part of being able to move well. You have to have a level of strength, a level of mobility, and a level of stability to be able to move well and move safely.
Yeah, and I'll dive into a little bit more. Is the kettlebell, because it's offset in weight, if you think about, as she talked about, being sport ready, if we think about sports, every sport really isn't, you don't load up one side equally to the other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So when you play golf, you swing one mm-hmm. way. When you play tennis, you swing one way. When you throw anything, you throw it with one arm. Mm-hmm. We never do any sort of sport that requires us really to do equal movements at the same time, side to side. And so what the kettlebell can do with it being off-centered, the weight itself being off-centered, is it can somewhat, like she said, mimic sport, being that it loads you up in one certain way, which can get you ready for sport.
Yes. Another way to say it too is that what we know about our bodies, whether we have a sport specific thing we do or not, we can all have asymmetries or compensations in the body. And the kettlebell work actually can identify those asymmetries and compensations and begin to even it out. And that's really, if you thought about an ideal world or an ideal body, we would want things to be symmetrical, right? We would want there not to be, you know, a weak front and a strong backside of us. That's right there is a recipe for injury. We want a strong front side. We want a strong posterior backside. And the kettlebell work, when trained effectively and under guidance with someone who knows how to teach proper form with kettlebells, you produce that kind of body. And now it won't be, don't let me, you know, misconstrue anything. There will always be some asymmetry and compensation in our body due to old injury, due to structure, how we were born, you know, that kind of thing. But your goal is to, if you just dummy it down a little bit, you want a strong front side, that's our interior side of our body, and you want a strong posterior back side. You don't want to have the front side, you know, strong and the back side weak or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to look at it. The kettlebell is also the biggest thing that I think people understand about why we think kettlebells are so great is the fact that we're not moving in isolation like traditional weight training. In other words, you don't just pick up a dumbbell and do a bicep curl. You don't just pick up a kettlebell and do a bicep curl. That's not what's happening. We're using the whole body simultaneously. Abs, glutes, lats, quads.
Yeah. And the other one thing that I really like it about it is you kind of went into this, is the kettlebell will allow you to know your limitations. If you come in here and you're not sure where your limitations are, the kettlebell will open up your mind to where you're limited, and then it'll kind of guide you in what you need.
Yes, it will. It's a phenomenal tool to really address common issues that we're all struggling with in our everyday life, and it's as simple as the fact that you have a job that. Two things come to mind: a job that has you behind the desk looking at a computer. For hours. The kettlebell can address things like the fact that you've slumped throughout the day hourly, and then when you get into kettlebell work and try to do the form properly, you realize you're tight in your back and you can't find that body alignment that you need to do the work correctly. So it forces you. I have a saying in the kettlebell industry where a lot of us use this, that says it finds your weakest links and forces you to fix them. And that sounds harsh, but it's actually a great eye-opener because it allows you to go back and think about what your day-to-day life is like and where that thing is showing up, you know, that weak link. And it's as simple as slumping at the computer. It's as easy as a dentist who's always over someone like this. This arm, this back, this position, they're going to get jerked up over time. This is going to feel really lousy day in and day out because that's how they always, you know, are. So it's as simple as teaching alignment, teaching body mechanics and how muscles work together. And then when we dive into that form with the kettlebell, it becomes this eye-opening experience for the person where they go, oh, yeah. This shoulder always does this, or I'm always like that. No wonder this side is weak and this side is strong, or this is overused, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and they may not know that until they pick up the kettlebell. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's the best thing. So what, I mean, because a lot of people that want to go to a gym or want to exercise, but they're a little bit fearful of, I go in there and is it going to be a lot of people, or are people going to be looking at me funny, or am I not physically fit for this? Is this too much? Mm-hmm. What are kind of the requirements in order to get started with a kettlebell?
I think the biggest thing, you know, we are chipping away at that misnomer, because if you really think about the fitness industry, we haven't set people up for success. We open our doors to these group fitness classes or a personal training session without any real goal of educating the person of what they're about to do, right? You just turn the music on, you blast, this is what we're doing, and you hope for the best. With our program, and I think with any fitness instruction that you go to, you should be educated on how to perform it properly. And having said that, we meet you where you are. This is really, I think, honestly, one of the best tools with the best outcome that can accommodate for any fitness level. The requirement that I have for a student coming into our program is to have an open mind and an ability to build trust with us as the instructor in terms of teaching them how to do it. And once you have that sort of open mindset about it, then the monkey is off their back to try to feel like they have to perform when they walk through the doors to do it right. It's a learning process. And I really don't use terms like workout of the day. I use the word practice because I think that's what we're doing. We're practicing our movement patterns. We're practicing our mechanics. We're practicing this kettlebell training in hopes of creating a stronger, more resilient body. The other thing about it is one of the requirements, and this is, you know, kind of a side requirement, to do this well, you have to have good instruction. You can't just go to a fly-by-night that says he picked up a kettlebell and learned how to do it on his own. And I think that's true of any modality, whether it's dumbbell, Zumba, whatever. If you have not had proper instruction, you have no business teaching someone else.
Yeah, and you said something that I want to hit on a little bit. You said the workout of the day, there's no workout of the day in here. And that's kind of a pet peeve of mine as well is, you know, I see people how they move every day. And if we give the same thing, workout of the day, which is what some gyms will do, is here's a workout for everybody. Well, what if somebody moves differently than somebody else, but we're giving them the same exact thing, mm-hmm. and what we give them, they actually can't do?
Exactly. That's a really bad sign of a trainer or an instructor or a gym. And I can just put it in a nutshell. In here, we do have a class design written, or let's say you're personal training with me. I have in my mind where I want us to go that day based on your goal or the dialogue that we have. But there should also always be modifications or variations of what we're doing. And more times than not, in our small group setting, many people have different things that they are stumbling through that they live with chronically. For example, one of my clients has very bad emphysema, and there are many times she has to have things modified, and that is perfectly okay. Sometimes people have injury outside of the gym. Does that mean they can't train? Absolutely not. That means that we have to modify what they're doing. And it may be totally off the cuff of what was on the board or what their injury is. So for an example of that might be, you know, upper body. They've hurt themselves upper body-wise. Well, then guess what? We're doing lower body. And there's a multitude of things I can do safely with a person to keep them progressing without doing any harm to any injury. So having said that, there should always be modifications mm-hmm. for each individual in any class setting, in any modality, in any personal training session.
I think another big thing that a lot of people have a hard time with getting to the gym or exercising is time. Mm-hmm. So what if, I mean, let's play a game and say I only had 10 minutes to exercise. What exercise am I going to do that's going to give me the biggest bang for my 10 minutes?
I thought about that question, and there are a lot of answers that come to mind. The biggest thing I would say, because there's several things that I want to say about that, it depends on what you already know how to do correctly. I mean, that sounds like a pat answer, but if we're talking about kettlebells, I'm going to tell you one of the best things that you can do is a swing, the two-hand swing. It's the foundational movement in kettlebell training. You can do it for very short spurts of time and still feel like you've done a lot. And one of the reasons why this gets back to kettlebell training being such a big bang exercise, it gets people moving from their hips correctly again. We don't move from our hips day in and day out because we're sitting all the time. And so that kettlebell swing gets us moving from our hips, and that's where all athletic movement comes from. So when you talk about it in the realm of kettlebell training, I'll tell you a two-hand swing. If you talk about the fact that you don't have a modality in your hand and you move pretty well, I'm going to tell you things like body weight lunges, pull-ups, push-ups, walking. Those kind of things. Walking you can't do in 10 minutes. You're going to need a little more time than that, obviously. But there's a lot of, actually, my biggest body weight thing I would say to people who don't have time is to crawl. Because that links everything together. And if you haven't seen that, you can video my crawling. It's one of the things I do up and down my driveway.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's a bear crawl, right?
Well, let's dive down that rabbit hole for a second. So a bear crawl, if you can picture it, it's where your hips are up in the air. I don't really like bear crawls. They're not wrong or bad. It's just that when you lift your hips up, you take your abs out of the equation. So I don't think you're going to get much great use out of what I refer to as linkage in that, where your whole body is working. You need to lower your hips and think of crawling like a moving plank, gotcha. Like Spider-Man. When you get into that, then you're in your abs and pulling with your hip flexors.
Okay, that sounds a lot harder.
Yeah, it's more fun.
What? Well, let's ask about a couple myths. What are the one or two biggest myths or misconceptions that you hear from people that come into the gym here?
There are a lot out there. The biggest one, and it's you know, I don't know if myth is the right word. Maybe it's misconception, or maybe it's denial. Is the fact that one's physique, one's healthy body is not predominantly affected by exercise. It's affected by, I'm saying it to the camera, it's affected by nutrition, intake. We have a saying in the exercise world, and if you're a smart trainer, you say this, you cannot out-exercise a poor diet. And that's what we mean by that. Intake, I use the word intake because people get scared. They don't like the word diet. They don't like the word nutrition. So I say your intake, whatever you put in your body, affects what your body looks like and how it performs. It's that simple. And it's an 80-20 rule. If people want to know what I'm talking about, 80% of it is intake, 20% of it is exercise.
So what's the...
That's one myth. That was the one myth.
Oh, do you have another one?
I have another one. That cardio, and I know this is going to tick off some people, that cardio produces fat loss. That is a myth. That is one of the biggest myths there is. Cardio does not promote fat loss. It can help, but it's not what produces fat loss. You can Google that. There are experiments that have been done, and it actually put fat on. And when I say fat, I'm talking about muscle versus fat in the body.
And what type of cardio? Are you talking like running?
Uh-huh. Okay. Elliptical, running, jogging. There is a difference.
So what is going to be, I'm assuming kettlebell is going to be, you said two things. Nutrition is the bigger thing if you're looking for fat loss.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for both strength gain and fat loss, can a kettlebell kind of achieve with a proper nutrition? Is that kind of the best way to go?
Yes, because the reason I'm so gung-ho on this, and I very rarely deviate from this statement, is because I know what the pros of kettlebell training give you versus other modalities. What you're looking for to produce strength training, and like we said earlier, it promotes mobility and stabilization that other modalities don't. So we've got those three things going for the kettlebell. We also know that it does cardio conditioning as well. So if anyone has not swung the kettlebell, has not done snatches, has not done cleans, has not done high pulls with a kettlebell, you have no idea what I'm talking about if you don't believe it's cardio conditioning. It is a big proponent of strength endurance, and that is producing cardio conditioning. The bigger reason why kettlebell works to produce fat loss and strength gains is that it puts your body into what we call EPOC, which is exercise post-oxygen consumption. And what that does is that's what we refer to, and you may have heard this buzzword, as afterburn. It's where your body has elevated its metabolic rate at a state that keeps burning for hours and hours and hours after your workout. And barbell training doesn't do that. dumbbell training doesn't do that. Running doesn't do that. It's think interval training. It's that anaerobic state that kettlebell work puts you in that promotes that. And yes, you can do other forms of HIIT training, but the kettlebell brings about all those other things that that other stuff doesn't do. The stabilization, the mobility, the strength training. So for me, I've been doing this for 12 years now. I don't have a weight problem. I don't have a strength problem. I don't have a mobility problem. I don't have a health, you know, physical. When I go and get my physical every year, my blood panel's excellent. I've never looked back. I love to move in general, so I love all forms of fitness, but this is the thing I'm going to be doing to my 70s, 80s, and 90s. No joke.
I believe it. What, so before you got started in kettlebells, or even now, what, if you could look back when you first got started on your fitness journey, mm-hmm. what's like the one thing, was there a time that you looked back and you said, wow, I was doing it totally wrong?
I think what it was, okay, so I have to put something in here that'll clarify this. I don't know that I was doing it totally wrong because I was one of the lucky ones, is what I say, because I had formal dance training. And formal dance training, when I say formal dance training, I mean ballet, jazz, that kind of thing. I was being taught how to use my body correctly at a young age. So that's why I say I was lucky. I knew how to move well. Then that might sound, you know, high and mighty or whatever, but the truth is, if you have really good formal dance training, you're going to know where your lats are, right? You're going to know that you have to have a strong core to leap through the air. You know, that doesn't just happen, right? I mean, yes, people can have deficits, but I think I got a lot right along the way, and I didn't realize that until I started diving into this mechanics of the kettlebell training and that kind of thing. I think, I was just one of the lucky ones. I did it all through, my dance training was all through college and beyond, and then I did fitness on the side. Now, I will say, admit this, one of the things that I was doing wrong as a trainer, because of the environment that I was in, I wasn't correcting form as much as I wanted to. You know, it was sort of a plug along, as long as nobody's getting hurt, but I wasn't really fixing form all the time like I wanted to do, like we do in dance training, like I do now here in our program. Maybe it's because people were moving better back then. I mean, now it sounds a little judgmental of where we are now today, but I feel like back in the 80s, people were moving a lot. And so there was probably less room for injury in a small group setting or in a group fitness class because we were all moving pretty well back then. I don't know. It's something to ponder.
So what percentage of your students that come to the class would you say are dealing with some sort of ailment?
The percentage is high. Okay. And it's, you know, it's your basic stuff. It's not like, oh, I've had this, you know, terrible whatever. It's little aches and pains. And I will tell you that what's shocking about that is that, number one, this doesn't have to be. The beautiful thing about our bodies is a lot of this is reversible. Our bodies are so magnificently made and designed that it can rejuvenate and heal a lot of things that we didn't think possible. And that's the other thing about kettlebells, because it recruits all these muscle fibers, it allows for the larger joints to heal. The misused and overused joints like shoulders, hips, back, knees. When I think about people who come in the gym, the other reason why this program works is because we get to know everybody that walks in, mm-hmm. literally. And that's the outcome you want. This is not a guessing game. This is not a hit or miss, throw spaghetti on the wall and see if it sticks. This is your body you want to take care of for the long haul. Because we are supposedly, right, statistically living to the age of 100. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to live that long, I'm thinking about my quality of life. I know what I wish for. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I got to do my part along the way to ensure a better quality of life as I age. So for me, the program has opened my eyes to the fact that more and more people are living day to day with aches and you know, creaks in their body that don't have to be there, mm-hmm. that shouldn't be there. And it's as silly as they slept wrong. You know, it's not like they did some crazy workout on, you know, YouTube and they hurt themselves. They were just sleeping wrong that day, and they had an ache or pain the next day, and then it just kept accumulating, right? And before they know it, they're like, I can't move my left shoulder. All that's fixable.
Yeah. So two things. So did you tell me how long Rapid Results Fitness has been here?
We opened in January 2nd, 2008.
Okay.
So 11 years.
Just had your 11th birthday, which you were kind enough and I was able to attend. Mm-hmm. And how long is the longest tenured member been with you?
11 years.
11 years, the whole time.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to say that. We do have a lot of members come and go for different reasons. They move away, they try new things. They came for a short period with a finite goal. They met that goal. They moved on. But by and large, most people stay 5 years or longer.
That's awesome.
It is. It's really a great testimony.
So if somebody's interested in trying it out, how would they get started?
I would recommend a couple different ways. One is what we call Jumpstart class. It's our intro class that's sort of a requirement to come into the program if you're going to come to the classes. It gives you a chance to learn what it feels like to work with the kettlebell safely. It also gives you a chance to hear some of my cues that I use. You'll pick up a lot of tidbits about body mechanics, which gives them a feel for our intent of our program. And it also gives you a chance to get to know me as a teacher here. We have four other instructors here as well, but I'm the one that does the intro classes. The other way to do it is if you don't like that whole class setting kind of thing, you can always book a session with me personally, and we can just meet you where you are and work on what you need.
Awesome. Awesome. And then, so if anybody's interested in learning more about you, where can they find you online?
There's several places. You can go to the website, rapidresultsfitness.net. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram under my name, Betsy Colley. I'm also on strongfirst.com, which is a school of strength that I represent nationally as an instructor for them. That means I go and teach certifications for other instructors on how to teach kettlebells, barbell, and body weight. The other way is email, which is bcolley@nc.rr.com.
You said something about watching a video on YouTube, did you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I do. YouTube. I have a whole library of kettlebell technique and also body weight warm-up type drills that I think are big bang movement patterns for our body. And you can go and watch. A lot of the videos are in slow motion, which I think is extremely valuable in trying to dial into your technique. So you can always go to Betsy Colley at YouTube.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you spending time with me and getting to know. Hopefully you got to know Betsy a little bit. If you're interested in checking out kettlebells, honestly, she's the go-to person. You won't find anybody around here with as much training as she's taken.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.